This morning, the 17th chapter of Luke, verses 26 through 33, a reminder from Jesus. And something must be important if Jesus takes the time to tell us to remember it. Let's hear the word of God this morning. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which be upon the housetop and his he shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Praise be unto God for the reading and hearing of his precious and eternal word. Did you all happen to notice that we had a hurricane here in the United States? If I was a betting man, I would just bet you didn't know that. Nobody figured out that we had a hurricane. You didn't happen to see over a week ago that the hurricane was forming over at West Africa and coming across the Atlantic Ocean? You didn't see that? Or maybe you didn't see it when it became a Category 3 hurricane and cut across Cuba and did a lot of damage to them. And I know you didn't see it when it passed Cuba and it turned into a Category 4 hurricane and picked up some of the warm water of the Gulf of Mexico and headed straight for Florida. You didn't see that, did you? You didn't know a thing about it. And it did. It came up across Florida, right smack dab through Tampa and Sarasota and Port Charlotte and all that, and tore up all them trees. You didn't know about that, did you? You didn't see it coming, didn't hear anything about it at all. That's amazing. None of you watched the Weather Channel? None of you watched the news? Nobody talked about it? And you didn't happen to think, well, maybe it's going to blow in here and everything's going to move around and everything's going to be flooded and all that? You didn't cross your mind? You weren't one of the ones that went and bought up all the TP and all the stuff in the grocery stores and everything? You weren't there? That's amazing. Looks like somebody would have told you. Looks like somebody would have told you. I know that people didn't know it because the hurricane came. It really did come. And it blew just like I said. And you know what? There were people who were told to get out and they never moved a muscle. There were people who were told to flee and the roads were full of people, but there were people who stayed home. They heard everything that I said. They heard it was starting over at West Africa. They heard that it crossed over Cuba. They heard that it swirled around in the Gulf of Mexico. They heard that it came into Florida. And yet, even as it came, even as the clouds rolled in, even as the wind began to blow, even as the rain began to fall, even as the surf began to come up, there were people who said, "Ah, it ain't gonna be nothing. I don't believe it. I've heard it before. We've been here. Well, it's been 100 years. It hadn't been a hurricane come in to Tampa. So we don't believe that." And so any number of people heard everything I heard everything you heard everything that everybody else in the whole world had access to hear simply by turning the knob and listening. And yet they did nothing at all. They didn't change their way of living. They didn't change what they had to do. They said, "Oh, it'll blow over. I've heard that before." That's amazing, isn't it? Reminds me of one evening I was coming home from work at Pembroke, and that's before we had the bypass around Parisburg. And I started into town, and when I was out toward Ripplemead, I had a good view of Angel's Rest. And it was clouds boiling around and rain falling. And I happened to look down toward the west end of Angel's Rest, and there it went, a funnel cloud. A sure enough tornado was coming across the end of Angel's Rest, and it was churning and spinning. The Davises saw it sitting on their porch up the river here, and we talked about it later, and I saw it, and I drove right under it. You know what startled me about that? All of that was going on, and all this tornado was going on Angel's Rest, and everybody was walking up and down the street in Parisburg and didn't see it. It was there for the looking. If they had paid attention and looked up and took a cognizance of it, they would have realized that it was there, but they weren't looking for it, and they didn't look up there. And you see, now what has all of that got to do with this? Well, it has everything to do with the story Jesus told. Jesus said, in the coming of the Son of Man. Now, that's got my attention. Jesus is coming. Don't that have your attention? Don't that get your nerves going and your ears open and your eyes open and everything going on? That's got my attention right then. When he says, this is about the coming of the Son of Man. Number one, he's saying he's coming. And number two, he's not coming without warning. You say, oh yeah, he said it's coming like lightning from the east to the west, and no man will know the day or the hour when he's coming and all that. Why, it's going to be a surprise. No, it's not going to be a surprise. Not that kind of surprise. No, you do not know the day nor the hour. No, you do not know all the intricacies and things that's going on. But my friend, he has left you signs along the road to let you know when the time is at hand. And he says, as it was in the days of Noah, and then he says, and as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, what? It will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Now, when Jesus talked about this, somebody's going to jump right up and say, yeah, you're going to preach again them homosexuals this morning. No, I'm not. I'm telling you, that's not the point of this. The whole point, now, the whole reason God's sending down fire and brimstone from heaven is because these people in Sodom and Gomorrah had gone off the deep end sexually and were living an ungodly and unholy life, and God was against it, and you have to acknowledge that. But that wasn't the point of the story. The point of the story was that all for many, many years, there was a righteous man. If I had never read the New Testament, I might really have thought real hard of Lot. But reading the New Testament, I found out that he was righteous. I found out he vexed his soul, his righteous soul, against the evil and the wickedness that was in his day and time. So when I look at it, I have to say, what was the point of the story? I'll tell you what it was. The people in Noah's day and the people in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah all committed the same crime. God put up warning signs along the road. God put up warning signs to tell people the lay of the land is this and such. God put up signs to tell you that it can't be very long. God put up signs to tell you, if I look and if I pay attention, then I'll be able to see what God wants me to see. But what happened to the people in Noah's day? Noah preached 120 years. So for those of us that's just preached about 60 or 70 years, we think we're having it tough. He preached 120 years. And guess how many revivals broke out? None. He preached 120 years, and every day he built an ark. Every day that ark got bigger and bigger, and he put more on it, and he put tar on it, and he nailed it together, and he sawed the lumber, and every day it got bigger, it was a testimony. And as he built it, he preached. He preached with his life and with his voice. As he built it, People are saying, what are you doing down here, Noah? What is this? And he said, it's going to be a flood. God is sick and tired of the violence and the sin that's going on in the world, and he's going to send a flood, and he's going to wash everybody away, and every single human being except who all's in this ark is going to die. Every animal, every person, everything that's living is going to die if they don't repent. And what did they do? He said they kept on sinning. Yeah. They went on with life as if it was always going to be there. They didn't make any motion to believe or to change their lifestyle. Everything that they were asked to do, they did not do. They just ignored Noah. He preached 120 years and never had one, not one convert, not one person turn. Only people who were saved from that catastrophe was Noah and Mrs. Noah, the three young Noahs and their wives. That was all. Eight people were saved in the ark. That's all. Well, you say, well, what happened in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah? My brothers and sisters, for years, Mr. Lot and his family had lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. It was a cesspool, folks. You just got to believe it. It was a cesspool of ungodliness and ungodly living. And Lot had done his best to tell his family, but he'd made a mistake. You see, Lot one day made a decision to let his family be exposed. My friend, I want to tell you something. You got kids, you're responsible for what they're taught. You got people and family members that need God, you're responsible that they need to know the truth about what's going on in the world and what's going on in their life. And Mr. Lot and his family lived down there. Well, at first they didn't. At first he put up his tents towards Sodom. And first he just stayed outside. They might have went in to get some provisions for their tent, but they didn't live there. But finally they did move there. Finally they moved in and became such a part of it that his wife and his children and his grandchildren did not know the difference. That was their way of living, and they liked it. Even though Lot was a righteous man, his family had been sucked in to the world system that was going on there. His family had been sucked in to the ungodly lifestyle of the Sodomites. Yeah, that's where they got the word, by the way. Sodomites. You make whatever you want to out of that. But let me tell you, they got to be where they were complacent. His children, his daughters, his sons-in-law, they married. Of course they married within the confines of the people of Sodom. And all of those things rubbed off on his family. And yet he preached day and night, vexed his soul with it, and in the end, there was no repentance. Nothing happened. Finally, one day, angels of God came. Three fellows, were walking down the road, back upon the hill. And as they walked down the road, they came upon a tent. And in the door of the tent sat a man named Abraham, a man of God, a man called of God, a man who was doing God's work. And Abraham, sitting in the tent, looks down the road and sees three men walking down the road. And he jumps up and runs out, and he's just so glad to see somebody coming down the road. And he invites them to come in. He invites them into his house. And they come in and they talk with him. And as they talk, Abraham discovers something. Two of those men are angels from heaven. You say, wow, that's something else. The third one is the Lord himself in a pre-incarnation body. So he's looking at God in the face in human flesh. And he talks to them. And they get up and they say, thank you for the dinner. We're going on our way. And they start down the road. But for some reason, the one who is the Lord himself stays with Abraham, talks to him as they walk slowly down the road, And the two angels get ahead of him and out of sight and go on their way. And the Lord talks to himself. Do you know it's all right to talk to yourself? The Lord did. And I figured the Lord, of course, who else is the Lord going to talk to but to himself? So the Lord himself says, shall I keep this from Abraham? Shall I keep Abraham from knowing this? So what does he do? He says, Abraham, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. Those two guys that went ahead of me, they're angels. And when they get down to Sodom and Gomorrah and three other cities, they're going to call fire and brimstone down from heaven, and they're going to burn them up and everything that's down there, because God is so displeased with their ungodly lifestyle. God is so displeased with what's going on that he's going to destroy that whole place down there. And Abraham says, oh my goodness, Lot lives down there. My nephew and his family live in there. They're going to be burned up. He says, surely you wouldn't destroy the righteous with the wicked. Surely you wouldn't destroy everybody down there just because the rest of them are wicked. And he begs. He begs so many people and so many people and so many people. And finally gets down to almost none. And even Abraham is just sure that there has to be a few righteous people, a few people there. Mercies of God. God heard Abraham. He didn't destroy his nephew. But along about evening time, two angels came walking down the road, same two had been to Abraham's. And they came walking into the city of Sodom. And Lot was sitting in the gate. And he got up and, like Abraham, invited them to dinner. And they said, no, they'd stay in the street. He said, no, you can't stay in the street here. He said, you can't live in these streets. And so he took them into his house, and they had supper. And they talked. And the angels told him what they were going to do to the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. The angels told him that in the morning, now these people had years of hearing Lot tell them that God wasn't pleased with it. These people had years of a witness of a righteous man in their midst. And now the very angels of God, the very ones who have the power to call down fire and brimstone, are standing in their house before them. And they said, you need to go out. First of all, they said, do you have anyone else in your family? He had three daughters that were still home. Said, yes, I've got sons-in-law, and I've got other daughters and other people in my family that are in the city. Said, go get them. Go get them and bring them in, because if you don't, they're going to be destroyed, because in the morning, we're going to call fire and brimstone down, and we're going to burn this place up. So they go out, and they get their family in, and they run from house to house and door to door, and they warned their family. They warned their family. In the morning, God's going to send down fire. In the morning, it's going to be full of brimstone, and God's going to burn this place up, and all this wickedness is going to cease. And they all jumped in with Lot and went back home, and everybody had a prayer meeting and got saved. I do wish, for their soul's sake, that that could be true. But the truth is, my friend, what really happened is when Lot went out and went from door to door and house to house and tried to get his sons-in-law to come, they laughed at him. They thought he was making a joke. I challenge you to go back in Genesis and read the story all the way through. They thought it was a joke that he was making. They thought they were doing something crazy. They laughed at him. They made fun of him. In the morning came the time to leave. And the angel said, it's time. The time has wound up. My friend, a little fellow named Russ Justice used to sing here with us and be here all the time. And he sang a song, time, 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 time is winding up. Destruction's in the land, and God's going to move his hand. Time is winding up. And my friend, the angel said, it's time to get out. It's time to leave. You got to go. But they didn't. And they kept saying, hurry, hurry, leave. And he said, well, my sons-in-law are out here. They're laughing at me, making fun of me. And everybody's making fun. Nobody knows what to do. They said, you've got to go. You've got to get out. And they don't listen. And finally, the angels physically, literally grabbed the Lot and his family by the clothes and dragged them out the door, dragged them down the street, put them out of the through the gates of the city into the outdoors, and stand back and says, whatever you do, and this is what Jesus reminds us of, said, whatever you do, do not look back. But you know what? There was a problem. Their bodies were outside of the gates of Sodom. Their bodies were outside of the city of Sodom, and they were out in the wilderness. But you know what? Their hearts were still in there. The things that they liked. You know, that's why the scripture said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And my brothers and sisters, these people could not leave it. She had to look back. After all, she's got children, grandchildren, sons-in-law that are in that fire that's fallen back there. If she looks back, she's going to be looking at the fire that's going to be burning up her family. Three daughters and Mrs. Lot and Mr. Lot are the only ones that are getting out. And they're having to be drugged. The angels actually have to get a hold of them and drag them and pull them to get out of the city and put them away. My brothers and sisters, sort of like the people that heard about the hurricane. People had over a week to prepare. People had over a week to get ready, to put their food away, to put their water away, to batten down the hatches, to cover up their windows, to fix their roofs, to all the things they need to do. And yet, any number of people did not leave Florida, did not leave their home, did not go to a higher ground. Any number of people are still being found that drowned in the waters that came afterwards and did not make themselves ready for the catastrophe that's coming. So Jesus, in that same vein, says it will be like they were in the days of Noah and the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. If you read that carefully, you notice he doesn't say that they continue to commit this sin or that sin. It doesn't say they continue to be this kind of person or that kind of person. You know what it says they were? They were unconcerned people. They were people that were there. And what did they do? They bought, they sold. Is there any harm in that? I sure hope not. That's the only way I make a living. They bought, they sold. They married and they were given in marriages. Boys were married, girls were given in marriage. All of these things went on like what? Like nothing was going to happen. Nobody believed it. Angels from heaven came and said, look out, the fire's going to fall. Jesus, in a pre-incarnate body himself, said, I'm going to send them with judgment and fire. They came to the point that they actually touched them and pulled them and dragged them out. And yet they would not. I have seen people that would resist conviction that way. I have seen people that would resist being saved and coming to Christ and giving their heart to Him. They don't look down the road and see the destruction that's coming. They don't look down the road and see the things that's going to happen. And rather than get saved, they'll run. Lucille, I know you can remember what I'm telling you. We were having a tent meeting across the mountain, actually, and we gave the invitation, and a man got up and ran, not to the altar, but he got up and ran out the back of the tent and across the field. And I'll never forget, Ani Mendes threw down his dobro, and big old tall fella and leaped over the banister of the altar and out across the field with me following right behind, begging and pleading for the man to repent, for him to turn from his ways and come to Christ and be ready when the Lord came or called. And I'm sorry to say to you, he lived and died without ever having made that thing right. But my friend that went so far as to pull, I've seen people go and beg. I watched Darlene Taylor, she was then, run out of the church to my Uncle Hyman and climb up in the truck and pull him and beg him to repent. Oh, my friend, how often I've seen that happen. And people will resist the gospel coming. They will resist a life change. Why is that, my friend? Why is it that you could see destruction coming down the road? Why is it you could see? Why would you not make any preparation? At least go buy some bottled water. Why would you not make any preparation for the hurricane? You say, well, I'd sure be stupid not to. Well, it sure would be. I'll tell you something. I don't think this is a word, but you'll understand it. I can tell you something that's stupider. You say, what's that? People who will hear what I'm saying this morning. And by the way, you people are hearing this, but other people are going to hear this message. It's going to be on the radio eventually. It's going to be on CD someplace. And people are going to hear this. And my friend, they will not repent. They will continue to do. And this is what people in Sodom and Gomorrah did. This is what the people in Noah's time did. They continued in their life. They bought, they sold, they married, they were given in marriages. They went on with the mundane things of life. They went on with the things that life had for them. And you know what they did? They did nothing. It's really not a complicated thing to be saved. And it's not a complicated thing, my friend, to go to hell. It doesn't take a whole lot of effort to go to hell. Do you know that? All you have to do is do nothing. All you have to do is just continue to be your old self. Continue to live your life as if there's no God. Continue to live your life as if there's no hereafter. But I want to warn you today, my friend, first of all, there is a God in heaven who sits on the throne, who is a holy God, and who will not tolerate sin forever. Second of all, my friend, this holy God does not like to send judgment. He wants you to come. It's not His will that any would perish, but all would come to repentance. It's not His will for anyone to be lost. He does not want you to be lost. So He sends scrawny old country preachers like me out here to tell people that the end is coming. Everything's not going to stay the way it is. And yet, my friend, Peter says in his epistles that men and women, boys and girls, will say, everything's just like it always been. You people are always ranting and raving about the end of time, and you're always ranting and raving about Judgment Day and all that kind of thing, and you're always hollering about having to meet God someday. And it's nothing like that. Why? My grandpa and my great-grandpa and my great-great-grandpa, well, they all talked about it too. And so we fulfill the Scripture, don't we? That's what the Scripture says we do. They'll say that all things continue as they were from the beginning. My friend, they do not, and they will not. I can tell you, I don't know where they are, but somewhere there are angels who are commissioned to come to this world and to do the work of the Heavenly Father. Somewhere, my friend, the mind of God is roving over the earth and looking at all the things that are happening. My friend, you would have to be blind and deaf not to see and not to hear what's going on. Today I warn you, God is not pleased with our standard, our lack of standard of living in this country, and I think maybe God might require more of us than He does anybody, because we know better. We know better. We have had experience. God has pleaded with us. I look back over the centuries, and God has pleaded with us through Billy Graham, yes. Through Billy Sunday, yes. Billy Sunday baptized people right in this branch out here, where it goes by the church and stayed here at one time, by Dwight Moody, by all of these people, and all of these movements that God has sent and sent His Spirit and begged people to come, and yet we continue to invent ways to sin. We continue to invent things that are ungodly and unholy. My friend, on behalf of God and His love, not because God wants to send judgment or because I want to preach judgment, but because it is the Word of God, I will tell you, repent. Repent. If you have someone in your family who's lost, beg them. Get a hold of them like the angels did the people in Lot's house and beg them to come in. Beg them to come home to God before it's too late, because the day is coming in which the heavens will be on melting with fervent heat. The sun will turn to darkness and the moon to blood. You say, oh, that's in the Bible? Yes, all that's still in the Bible. And you say, all of that's going to happen? Just like he said it's going to happen. My friend, if you're not saved today, you ought to be scared to death. You ought to be terrified of living without Christ another moment. And the wonderful thing is that God, through Christ, has made a way for you to be saved. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning for your great love and your marvelous truth. We thank you for the gospel that saved us and the love of God that sent Christ down here to die. Heavenly Father, we pray today that hearts will be touched, souls will be moved, and Father, your Holy Spirit will bless your people and give them grace. Oh Lord, open our souls up. Open our hearts, Father, and we pray that the blessings of God will be upon each and every one of us. And Lord, that you'll touch us in a mighty way. And Lord, as we sing the closing hymn today, will you speak to the hearts of the people here? For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.